start soon, right? Ready? Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge things nerd, old and new. You can find us on all social media at Avengers Podcast. We have a beautiful website. It is beautiful. Brandon, I found it and Brandon made it pretty.
Thank you, Brandon. It is pretty.
It is www.avengerspodcast.com. And that's A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S. If you like this show, you can give us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It goes a long way of getting eyes and ears on this show, and we really, really appreciate it. If you want to pay us a dollar every month, you're like, man, these bills, they're not enough. I need one more, please. Take my money. A dollar a month will get you access to our Discord. It will get you access to our Minecraft server. It will get you a shout out once Brandon comes back and we figure our shit out. it will also get you, we've got a wonderful backlog of episodes of things that we've reviewed in the past, and a little bit of bonus stuff. And Keith and I have been, you know, supplying y'all with some quality conversations about really important topics.
Snow cones.
Well, I think I brought up the snow cone in regular episode too because I was so excited for it.
Reality TV.
Reality TV, yes, 100%.
What did we talk about today?
No clue. Absolutely no clue.
Gone.
No clue.
Instant
yep.
Gone.
Completely okay. Gone.
Same.
I had a lot of kids' stories today.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
and
weed stores.
And weed stores.
Dispensaries.
So if any of that interests you, you can hit us up, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, and it's just a dollar a month. That's nothing. Like, your other bills are, they're ridiculous. Let this be the bill that you're like, eh, that's not bad. A dollar a month.
We want to have thriven, and we need your dollar a month to do that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Before I forget, I am just one of your hosts. I am Emmy. Keith is my other host. Keith, how are you doing?
Keith's doing good. It's Thursday night before Good Friday, and it's going to be a great Friday, and I am not willing to let that joke go.
It's going to be a great Friday?
Hell yeah.
A grape?
Did you say grape? Mm-hmm. Did I say grape?
No.
You're just saying it now?
I was putting a joke on your joke and it failed.
Well, being that I'm 2 weeks into having a Costco card and I already had bought a rainbow pack of Crush soda and there's a shit ton of grape soda in my fridge, that's all you've made me want to do is go grab one of those and chug it on camera. Grape Crush.
And then burp into the mic. Sorry, Brandon.
Probably. Grip into the mic. Yeah.
Well, you can do that while I do my spoiler alert if you want to.
Do it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, spoiler alert. All right. So, this is for a show that has been out for a minute. But if you have not seen episode 4, season 1 of Daredevil, it's called In the Bed, please make sure you go watch that. And I understand you do however you want to. However, I implore you, I beseech you, I think that you should really watch this one first. That is my opinion. A great crush. It is going to be a great Friday.
Hell yeah. Now it is. Thank you for reminding me that I have so much grape or raisin soda in my fridge. It's bilingual.
In the Canadian, sorry, grape and raisin do not mean the same thing.
They do not, unless you're French. And they're like, we don't care if they're dried out or not. That's the worst French accent I've ever done. But
really? I like that you did the smoking, though.
I can't help it. I'm channeling Le Grand Dame, drag queen from the most recent UK versus the World season. She's fucking hilarious, and she's from France.
Okay.
France.
Okay.
She does that. She's from Toulouse.
So they don't call raisins anything different? They just call grapes and raisins?
I guess maybe they've got a different like word before the word, but I'm not bilingual, so
Oh,
I don't
if
know
only you had learned from a Anana.
that one. Maybe the problem is that I learned from an Anana and they were biased. That's what it is.
Right. So yeah, what I'm trying to say is watch the episode first. If not, I mean, still do you, but this episode deserves a watch, in my opinion. I yes, we will definitely do it as much justice as we can, but not like just watching it. But
Yeah. Well said.
thank you.
I heard the whole thing because these are
Oh yeah, no,
wireless.
I know. I know. Thank
Okay,
you.
cool.
I was trying to
Bye.
be long-winded with it so that you could go get
It's
your Raisin Crush.
true. It would have showed up. It would have exploded in my face if I had to go any faster. That was
Yeah.
nuts. Yeah.
All right. So I did not have a chance today to do IMDb, so I can't give you any of oh well that would have been after this anyway. Keith, what did you think of this episode? I'm saving myself for last because I haven't seen this show.
Okay, so this was one that I was very excited for Emmy to watch specifically because I go into this episode knowing what's going to happen at the end. She did not, and at least I don't think you've ever seen this one before, right?
I knew that that happened at some point
Ah, all right,
in the
fair enough.
show, and which came up in it came up in there, no, in Echo. Like it was posted as a
Oh.
GIF, maybe.
Oh, okay. That does make sense. I would call this episode all around, it's a bit of a setup episode, and setup episodes differ from filler episodes, in my opinion. So you'll hear people call a filler episode that's basically just adding runtime to a season, not really anything consequential happening. Whereas a setup episode, in my eyes, is you're setting up relationships that will mean more later, you're setting up plot points that will mean more later, but in all, you're getting a good precursor to a bigger event that's going to happen. And in that regard, isn't every episode of everything a setup episode? Sure, if you want to be a dick about it, but this one is particularly cool. I like it. I like that we get a bit of a taste of everything going on here with Ben and Karen, with Wilson and Vanessa, with Matt and Claire, and then this big, huge fucking ending, in my opinion, with two characters that we did not know we needed in our lives until this episode, in my opinion. So it set up a nice little domino to watch us or to have us watch fall at the end. So yeah, what do you
Yeah.
think?
Oh, okay. So, I feel like I've said that each episode has been a different flavor. So it's been like strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, and now we've got like a fudge ripple running through. So they're all the same flavor. It's like Neapolitan with fudge ripple. They're all the same flavor, but they're all like this one introduced a level of Fisk that we hadn't been introduced to yet that
Sure.
I really enjoyed watching
Yeah.
this episode after recording last night with you for X-Men. I'm sorry, X-Men. I was like, God damn, we can put a pause on X-Men. I need to finish this whole entire series.
I know.
This
There's such different beasts, and I agree
they
with you. There, it's a lot more drama in this,
yeah.
lot more jelly in these donuts. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's more, yeah, there's more meat. More jelly,
Yeah.
more jam,
Yeah. You want the meat in
more
your donuts?
substance. And I.
Yeah.
That sounds so dirty. But I really enjoyed this episode. And I'm sorry, X-Men. It's, and I've enjoyed X-Men, but it's so different. So different. This has absolutely, completely, and totally sucked me in. This show is fucking good. I did. Okay. This is a stupid connection that I made, and everybody's
Oh.
gonna be like, fucking duh. And yes, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear.
Daredevil was in She-Hulk. That's correct. It is Matt Murdock as Daredevil. You're not stupid, Emmy. Don't let the world tell you that. It's rude.
Okay. I won't. But if anybody else needs this to be said explicitly, this is for you. And if you are that person and you feel comfortable being like, yes, I am that person as well, please let me know. In this time watching, when I did watch what I could of the opening, the what is that? Like the
Bloody waxy
bloody
opening
black,
credits. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
opening credits. There we go.
Yeah.
It does justice, like the justice symbol, who has a blindfold on. And for a second, I'm like, yeah, that's Matt, because I don't completely look directly at it because it's
Too
icky.
scary.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's fair.
not too scary. It just gives me a bit of the ick. But I was like, oh, justice is blind. He's blind and he exerts justice. What a wonderful symbolism
Nice.
connection. Yep. And that's the look into my brain for this week. You're
No, that's
welcome.
great. That's fantastic. I wasn't even like I've seen that opening a million times, and maybe I would have noticed that once upon a time, but it has been a while, I'll be honest, to focus on the details of it. Because even as a banger of a opener as it is, you don't look at the details every time when
Oh,
you're
because it's
seeing it
icky.
later down the line. Yeah, plus it's icky. Yeah, no, that's a great detail. Good
You are
catch.
very kind. Very kind. That is
I'm just
like
Canadian. Wait
the
till you see me get pissed.
oh.
Oof. I had a
Like
lot of
drunk?
caffeine tonight.
Like drunk?
Both. Yeah. Just covered in urine. No. I
Okay.
feel like I interrupted you. You were gonna say something else.
I was gonna say that like the I don't know, lady, it's not Lady Liberty, but like the symbol of justice
Yeah, the
for
scales with the,
us
yeah.
is that, yeah, the scales and the sword, and she's blindfolded. Like, that's universal, and I just hadn't seen it yet, and it makes sense.
Fair.
So yeah, this show's damn good.
This is damn good. You're right.
Yep.
And we're only episode four.
I
Which is crazy, right?
It hurts, honestly, to watch it week to week.
Well, we might have to have a 6 hour recording session and watch three episodes and review three episodes at once. Let's do it. You gotta.
I thought
What are
you
you
were gonna
doing
say,
Easter Sunday?
yeah.
Sorry.
I thought you were gonna say, 6 episodes in 6 hours, and I was gonna be like, no, that's not enough time.
No, each episode takes us 4 hours.
Yeah.
I'm just tracking trends, you know. We turned, I don't know how, when you said last night, we were recording last night about a 30-minute episode of X-Men, and I said to you know what, I think we chopped it down, I think we got shorter and shorter each episode, and you were like, and I was like, no, I bet we did like an hour 20. It was an hour and 35 minutes. We turned a
Okay, that's
30-minute
still.
episode. I don't know how we do it. I don't know. But
It's going off the rails like this, honestly. That's how we
yeah,
do it.
that's
And
true.
that's,
For
you
sure.
know
We're
what?
doing it right now. Yeah.
Variety, spice of life. This is what you're
Fucking
here
A.
for. Yes, you can get commentary on great Marvel stuff anywhere, but you come to the Abingers for the other bullshit.
That's right.
You're welcome.
Deliver of droves. Hell yeah. You said you didn't have a chance to do Rotten Tomatoes. Do we want to
I
do
well,
that
it's
or
the same for the show all the
right?
time, and
Okay,
IMDb takes a couple more clicks
cool.
for the episode, and so I didn't have a chance to do that. And I'm gonna go ahead and burst your bubbles now. I know everybody fucking loves my credits names. I'm so sorry.
Oh no.
It has been a week. The end of the school year. I don't know if you guys knew. I am a teacher.
Yo, you're a
The end of the
teacher.
school year takes it out of you. I am a
Fair.
teacher, yeah, and it's just rough
It's
this
okay.
time of year, so
It's
I'm
okay.
sorry, guys. It's just gonna be
That
rough for a minute.
just means we're gonna have to. You know what? I'll do the credits name next episode.
You would do that for
Share
me?
the load. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Samwise
Okay.
Gamgee style. Are you ready to
But you
jump into the
said it like
episode then?
share.
What?
You said it like share.
Can I do it like share sharing the load?
Yeah,
Share the load, stupid. Yeah.
Okay. Yes,
Right.
I'm ready to get into this episode. Sorry for the fuckery. Not sorry about the fuckery.
All
I'm
good.
here.
You told me you have a page and a half of notes tonight. Is that
I
right?
do. Yeah,
I have seven and a
went on
half.
the. Okay. All right. It's not
Only because I was
competition.
trying to quit my vice. It's not a competition. You're right. I was just trying
No,
to
I was
quit
gonna
my
say
vice
yours
of
is
summary.
bigger.
Well, if I make it all, it's all on Google Docs. So if I make the font really small, Let me get my measuring tape. Okay. So I told you last night as we were wrapping up X-Men that we were going to get a bit more of detail with these Russian brothers, these two guys running the drug trafficking, human trafficking sector of Fisk's thing going on here. So we get a bit of a backstory with the Russian brothers, furthering we get a furthering of Ben and Karen's investigation. We get Matt and Claire, Wilson and Vanessa starting their relationship. And this that I'm just reading notes from my summary of the episode in general. So let's move on to the next part. They came over to America, Vladimir and Anatoly. They came over to America after escaping a Serbian prison. They wanted to live like kings. They considered themselves princes of Moscow originally. But Daredevil has been getting in their way and making their lives progressively more difficult since they got here. So their job is actually to move supplies of heroin for Madame Gao, which, if you remember, Madame Gao's the little Cantonese lady that was sitting on that pallet, and only Wesley knew what the fuck she was saying in episode one.
And had either blind people so that they didn't know what they were doing, or or had someone blind them so that they didn't
Yeah,
know
and
what
they're
they were
like,
doing.
yeah, because their eyes are like surrounded with scars of some kind of like chemical kind of burn thing. Yeah, absolutely. Good memory. I'm going
Thank
to
you.
tell you the actors' real names. These two actors playing the Russian brothers. I'm going to tell you their real names. I want you to guess which one of them is actually Russian.
Okay, can we say blonde and long face? Oh, I thought you were gonna ask me to say which one's which. Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay.
That is how I know them, blonde and long
Blonde
face.
and long face. So long face, I assume, is Anatoly. That's the one who might expire before the end of this episode. Okay, cool. And then blonde is okay, fair enough. So their names are Gideon Emery and Nikolai Nikolaev.
Okay, so Nikolai is obviously the Russian one, right?
Trick question. Nikolai is actually born in Australia and Gideon is English. Both of these guys are not Russian. These actors.
Really?
Nikolai might have some Russian heritage, but in his family, but no, he is an Australian actor named Nikolai
Okay,
Nikolov.
now
He
can I guess
plays
which one's
Vladimir.
which?
Oh shit. Yep.
Oh,
Nope. Okay, go ahead. Did that give it
I would
away,
have
or do you
gone.
still not know the characters' names?
Well, you said the A1 is the one with the long face. Okay. So the one whose last name is Emery is long face?
Correct.
Yeah,
And he's been
okay.
on 18 episodes of Teen Wolf as well.
I knew him from somewhere.
I was like 97% sure that
That I
you'd
would bring that up
seen
before
the
you.
you well, no, that you'd have seen Teen Wolf at least. Yeah, he played a
Oh,
character
God.
named Deucalion.
Deucalion.
Yeah. Okay, Deucalion. Yeah, he's had quite an arc to be in 18 episodes. He must have been a pretty big deal.
I think he was in one of the later seasons, though. And honestly, the later seasons kind of went off the rails. But oh my God, I know that was the season that had something about a train station. And I was like, this is getting weird, man.
Teen
Deucalion.
Wolf's
I
gotta run a
remember
train
that.
station. That's, I mean,
Ugh.
it happens.
I listen, when I tell you, the first like 3 seasons of Teen Wolf are absolute gold.
I
I was
feel that
watching that
way
shit in
about.
college. Like, give me more.
I feel the same way about the first three seasons of True Blood and the second season to the fifth season of Buffy. Those shows are gold in my eyes. And
Okay.
actually, the guy who created show ran this show actually came from Buffy, which I think I mentioned in the first episode. But yeah. Good shit. I get it. You want an escape from student life, and you want to see what awesome, sexy people are doing with werewolves and vampires and whatever the hell's going on, in some other world somewhere. I
They
get
didn't have vampires. Let's not get crazy. It was just wolves and banshees. Fucking what? Oh, one of them turned into a, I want to say a chameleon, but that's wrong. Chimera. And
Similar.
very similar, but yeah, they had some. That was, yeah, but they did not go into vampires because that was also when, like, Vampire
Vampire
Diaries
Diaries.
started,
Yeah,
and
same fucking thing.
yeah,
Yeah.
which I also watched all of that.
I believe you.
And Supernatural started around then too. Also watched most of that. Yep.
Damn. I've been told to watch Supernatural several times. I did enjoy the first season. I really like the humor of it. I don't know what got me off of it. Some other show probably came out or came back at the time that I was really at my peak of interest, and then I just switched over because I was waiting for that show to come back, type of thing. I don't know, Game of Thrones or something. That stuff happens all the time.
So you need to get to the point where Castiel comes in, which I feel like is season three, but it's been so long that I could be wrong.
That is what everybody
Misha.
tells me, is Castiel is like the character to wait for.
Yeah, Misha, and then the oh God, I used to know his name. Fuck. I guess I can say his title. It doesn't really give that much away, but when the King of Hell is there too, that's peak Supernatural.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. But okay, whenever we get the backstory of the
Vladimir and
Russian
Anatoly. Yeah.
Vladimir and Anatoly. Okay, trying to commit that to memory. We'll fuck it up later.
Vladimir is the hothead. Vladimir is the one ripping ribs at a guy's rib cages in prison to pick locks and shank people. Yeah.
That was a note I had. He did take a rib out to stab people,
Yeah.
right? God. Was that guy sewn up? I had to look away. I couldn't.
That guy, I believe he said that because I think they came there as a group. They got locked up as a group, and slowly people started getting picked off either by poor conditions and rats, or beatings and torture. Because the one guy comes back, he's dumped back in his cell, and he says this other guy is gone. Oh, it's just us now. And then this other guy in the cell is also passed away, and Vladimir has ripped open his chest, and I guess maybe the rats started it, but he finished it. He grabbed one rib. Rum one ribby ruby, and then grab the other one to hand to his brother, so they can sharpen him up and get ready to escape. Yeah.
Oh God, I
Yeah.
that was icky. That was not okay. But right before that, when they say something about we're gonna leave together, and the guy shows his knife, that Blondie shows his
Yeah.
knife, and they're like tonight, and I was like, oh, is this a suicide pact? What are we doing here? Like,
Good question. Yeah.
that was what I thought initially, and then I was like, oh no, because then he rips the guy open and takes a rib shank. Okay, all
Which
right,
is
no, this is.
it's a great pop punk band from the early 2000s, Ribshank. If you haven't heard of them, they're fan. No, I'm just fucking around. There's no such band, but it just felt right.
That is, I thought you might be fucking around. Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah. What else
You're
happens,
waiting on me.
Keith?
Okay. So they're getting their asses handed to them in this Serbian prison, and they're pulling out ribs and they're ready to escape, and we get a cut to their American lives since then. And Matt, like I said, has been quite busy beating up their guys and making life worse for them lately. Then we get a scene of Matt getting patched up by Claire again. As this has become kind of a regular thing now, she mentions that she didn't expect to be hiding out in her neighbor's place. She questions why he doesn't wear any body armor, and he says it would just slow him down. So many people who were starting to watch the show and for the first time were probably wondering that, and this is a great example of why he wouldn't be the type to get that, because boxers don't wear armor, they wear gloves, he needs free movement, he's a martial artist. Why doesn't he wear any? So he hasn't found the right stuff. Do you have a note? Or okay.
Of course I do.
Oh yeah.
Because this is when they have the conversation about the guys in a coma that he threw off the roof, and Matt
Yeah, he
very,
says you should see the other guy, and she's like, I have. I've seen several of them. I work at the hospital.
yeah. But the guy that he threw off the roof in the last episode, is that the last episode?
I want to say it was maybe the second episode now, but
I
it
think
has been
maybe
a
it
week and a
was.
half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Memory's not a, that's not a skill I have. But she says, like, you put him in a coma, and he's like, I'll live. Like, the narcissism and just being like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Like he
he's
has
in a
no,
coma.
yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah, it's true.
The and then he also says, I'm a big boy.
They flirt a little bit. Yeah, she says, why don't you get any body armor? You keep showing up so beat up. And he says that, yeah, I'm a big boy. I can take
I'm a
care of
big boy.
myself.
I go potty in the pot. Or I go potty in the potty. I guess that's how you would say
That
it.
does sound like verbatim the words of a big boy. That's how
Yeah.
we know he's grown up.
I had a meeting this week, and a 4-year-old younger sibling of one of my students came, and the other teacher that was in the meeting asked how old she was, and she's very extremely proudly said, "I am 4, and I don't wet the bed anymore." And we were like, "Congratulations, that's so great."
That's so funny. 'Cause that's like verbatim what she's probably been told by her parents. Like, you are four, you should be so you are four, you don't wet the bed anymore. You're not doing that no more.
You don't wet the bed anymore. Yep. But yeah, you
Oh.
said they flirted a little bit. I want them to fuck.
I know. I mean, like I say, I'm 70-30, gay straight. I love Charlie Cox. He's beautiful. He's a beautiful man. Rosario Dawson, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, their tension is so palpable here. He jokingly gives her a burner phone. She's like, "Oh, you shouldn't have." He says, "No, I'm not actually giving you this. Just please memorize the number or enter yours." And he says, "I'll call next time so that it's not weird." Because she actually says, like, she's kind of hinting
Like,
at
what
the
if I've got a
idea,
guy over?
what if
It's like,
there's
what if
someone
I'm
over? What if you come over and you're, because she says, why do you come over all the time? He says, what if I just like the sound of your voice? And she asks, well, what happens if the next time you come by, I'm already talking to somebody else? And then she, so he's like, they're it's beautiful.
It is.
She said, I think, so she's putting a hint out there that their relationship as it stands now is not very sustainable. Is what I think she's hinting at. And Matt, being the pragmatic, stubborn hero he is, he just gives her a burner phone, says, I'll call next time. So smart. But yeah, and then we noticed that she's still calling him Mike, which I thought that he had given his name already, but I'm very glad that he hadn't, because it was a very palpable moment later on in the episode, not to skip ahead. But yeah. Do you have any other notes for this scene?
Not for this scene, but for what you just said. But
Yeah, no,
I'll get there.
have you ever, okay, so he asks her, have you ever heard the name Wilson Fisk? There's no public record, there's no internet searches. Matt mentions that he can tell when people are lying by their heartbeat. And he says, if you apply enough pressure, someone will break sooner or later. And then he kind of dives out the fire escape. Just totally just woo, peace. Which I thought was
Yeet.
very cool. Exactly. He's a yeeter. And then we cut to the Russians. We see Wesley is visiting the Russians. Vladimir doesn't like Wesley. We know that. The tension between the two is really great. Vladimir kind of looks down at his brother for kissing Fisk's ass. His brother keeps not mentioning Fisk by name. He keeps saying, your employer, and bowing down. And Vladimir is not a fan of this. It's kind of causing a rift between the two of them, I sense. Vladimir mentions the man in black was asking for Fisk by name. And Wesley mentions that he and others have been talking about the Russians behind their back, disappointed that they can't seem to stop the guy who's running around in a mask. He says, if he had an iron suit or a magic hammer, maybe that would explain why you guys keep getting your asses kicked. Yeah. To you, Emmy, what'd you think of this?
Iron suit, magic hammer. I'm pretty sure, we're absolutely definitely talking about Hawkeye and Black Widow, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Hawkeye and his magic hammer, no pun intended, and Black
Ew.
Widow. I've seen the guy sing his music videos. My goodness, that guy clearly has a magic hammer.
But no, I. They were doing little nods and hints like this, even in the shows that weren't technically canon. Like I know in Agents of Shield, Sif shows up in one of the episodes after, maybe it was Thor: The Dark World. Were they on that long ago?
I think so. Yeah, they were definitely. I think it was Thor the Dark World. They go to England, and that's where like the thing happened in Thor the Dark World.
And they're doing cleanup. Yes, you're exactly right. But yeah, like just hints and nods here and there that like yes, they are in like oh, the big thing that happened in New York, you know, that big thing that we have to clean up after. It's like hints and nods here and there that we're in the same universe. And I think truly and honestly, them saying this in this episode, me watching it at this point in time, we are in the same universe.
Oh, 100%. And
We're here.
they're bringing it back. And I think what happened was they had made it, especially early in the Netflix one. So this being the first one, I bet you as the seasons go on and as the other shows like Jessica Jones and Nick Cage come out, they're probably less and less Nick Cage, not Nick Cage, Luke Cage.
Nick Cage.
which got his
Yep,
fake
yep.
name from his love for Luke Cage. That's where Nick Cage came up with it. But they probably mentioned the MCU less and less because I think the original intention with Agents of Shield and the first season of Daredevil was for them to be actually in the same universe. And then I think ratings or maybe just something to do with maybe just contracts because they were both on different networks. And I think with Agents of Shield, I don't know the business behind it. I assume that someone was like, oh, it's not getting the ratings we want, so let's say it's not canon or say it's some kind of otherworldly soft canon or something. I don't know. But yeah, they now I would say that Agents of Shield is probably next in line to be told that it is canon, but Daredevil absolutely is, in my opinion.
I'll speak to that because I watched Agents of Shield as it was coming out for the first few seasons, at least until Ghost Rider got there, and then I was like, Nick Cage. No, I'm just kidding. I got busy, I think. I think that's when I actually started my big girl job as like a real teacher.
Nice.
And then I lost all passions for anything else. I'm so glad I refound them.
The very least, passion for Agents of Shield.
But I remember there being a lot of backlash to
Coulson.
Clark Gregg is the actor.
Yeah,
Yep,
yeah,
Coulson.
yeah.
To Phil Coulson being alive and then being
Yeah.
like they truly don't explain it. And as someone who watched the show, yeah, they
They
explained it,
do. They do
but
explain it, yeah. Isn't it
I
like
don't.
Kree blood or something got him back to life or something? It was like a blue person.
Oh, you know what? I haven't gone back to rewatch it after they've like introduced other things. But
Spoilers.
I remember watching it as someone who was a fan of Marvel, who was also watching it in real time. I was just kind of like, well, they explained it. Do I understand it? No. Do I think that that's satisfactory? I do not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that I think that has a little bit to do with it. And I think Brandon has said before that it takes the stakes away from his death
Yeah,
in the original Avengers.
it was the reason the Avengers had to avenge.
Yeah.
That's where they get their name. And it's like you just made the guy who's supposed to have been the reason behind that alive again. So what does it matter? It just takes the steam out of it a little bit, I think. Do I want Clark Gregg to not come back? Do I want Phil Coulson to be gone forever? Of course not. I love his character. He's very good in Agents of Shield. He's the reason the show was good. One of them anyways. I also love Agent
Vincent
May.
Simmons. Oh, and
Yes,
Agent May.
Vincent Simmons are great too. And so's Daisy and so, honestly, Ward was fucking phenomenal in the end of the first season where he totally just completely switches sides and you're like, holy shit. That was a good twist.
And then who's the girl with the
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Who's the girl with the sticks that comes a little bit later?
The batons. Yeah, that's I believe that's where things get muddy because I think that they've now with the end of Endgame or no, the end of Hawkeye gives his wife back her watch from when she was an agent, and it does have something to do with the character Mockingbird, I
I
think.
was going to say it's bird related.
And I think that Mockingbird was
I
the
was gonna go
character.
through a hell of a lot of birds before I got there. Yeah, you girl with the sticks,
Garden,
Robin.
Empire Penguin, Emperor, anyways,
Empire Penguin.
Empire of the Penguin Strikes Back.
Okay.
But back to
He does.
Daredevil.
Yes, back to Daredevil. I'm gonna say there's a moment where Wesley, I think, says something about how Progovsky or whatever his name was.
Prohaska, yeah.
Okay.
The
Well,
guy that was killed by a bowling ball last episode.
yes, was acquired by Fisk for the Russians, and it was like, oh, okay. Now I'm seeing the puzzle pieces are puzzling, man.
Yeah. Oh, they're puzzling.
Yeah.
And all the corner and edge pieces are found first, as in
Yes.
any good puzzle.
Well, yeah.
Wesley continues to insist they don't say Fisk's name aloud, even though Vladimir is sick of doing that. He insists that they need to deal with the man in the black mask because it's holding up Madame Gao's operations, which is also in turn holding up other ventures, which we don't know much about yet. What I'll call him Vladdy. Vladdy pushes back and keeps saying Wilson Fisk. He says, if he wants his pound of flesh, he can come here and carve it himself.
Name
Wesley
that
encourages.
Shakespeare play.
Ooh, shit.
Sorry.
It's either Hamlet or Macbeth.
Wrong on both
Shit.
counts. It's
Which
The
one?
Merchant of Venice.
Oh God, who knows the Merchant of Venice that well? You.
Sorry.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't even have to look that one up. Thank you, Miss Puckett, who I didn't really like that much. You weren't fabulous, but that stuck with me.
So we're not reaching out to Miss Puckett over the socials. Fuck it to Miss Puckett. Got it.
We did used to call her Miss Puckett.
I mean,
He's
I'd be
okay.
disappointed if you didn't.
She was, I mean, obviously she was a great teacher. I remember that.
Yeah, Merchant of
But
Venice quotes. That's pretty badass.
she also was mean. I'm sorry, Miss Puckett. You don't deserve that. You take Zumba classes with my mother at the YMCA.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So Pam can say, "Don't listen to my daughter's
Yeah.
podcast." Wesley encourages Vladimir to talk things over with his brother and to consider his offer to help run things. Vladimir is disappointed in Anatoly for continuing to suck up to Fisk. He says that that the only reason Fisk wants his anonymity is so that people forget that he's just a man. Anatoly reminds him that so is this man in the mask, and look what he's doing to us. They decide to go and visit the man who is basically posing as a detective at Claire's door a couple of episodes and now is in a coma in the hospital. They decide to go pay him a visit, and they say he's slept long enough. Which I think is so funny. The Russian stereotypical bad guy character is still so common these days. And
Yeah.
the fact that they're so hardened and they're bad to the bone and they're tougher than nails, and the mentality that Vladimir has where he's like, he's slept long enough, as if comas aren't a thing. Like he's
It's a
just
break.
napping.
Yeah.
It's like, let's wake him up. Let's wake up the baby from his nap. It's like, that's he's in a fucking coma. He's dropped off a goddamn building. Anyway, yeah. Do you have any other?
They even give it a timeline, which fitting, honestly. It's
Yeah.
tomorrow's the Great Friday that you are going to celebrate with your things that you can celebrate with up there. I'm out of school, and he does say Jesus rose on the third day. So this guy's been in a coma for just 3 days. It's been 3 days, and he's like, nah, he is recovered. That guy is fine.
Let us give him home remedy,
Yeah.
is what I'm hearing. And they do.
Well, and they also call Wesley a prissy little bitch, which, listen, if I've ever seen a prissy little bitch, his name is Wesley and he's on this show. Okay.
Fair.
And here's a point where I'm gonna say, why did I write down this note?
Okay.
Back when I was in diapers, Where did that come from?
That is later. That is in the next scene.
Oh, okay.
That is a line that Karen does say, which you've written down
Oh,
for some
yeah.
reason.
I don't know, 'cause I usually I sometimes I try to make myself seem older and less cool to my students just because like when they see those glimmers of like, oh, she's young and hip and actually with it, that's not a thing that kids say these days. When they see that glimmer, I want them to be like, oh, maybe she's
Yeah.
not 83.
Yeah. You want to keep their expectations
Really
mellowed as
low.
well as, yeah. Smart.
So
Tamper
then
them.
when they see something that they like, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah, so
You're
I'll say
setting a bar for
things.
yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart.
Well, and also my co-teacher is 9 years younger than me, so when she'll say like, oh, did you back in your day, like back in 1970 when you were in middle school, did you guys used to do this? It's like, all right, first of all, fuck you, bitch. And second of all, I can't say that because we're in front of kids.
You're like, I'm going to the chief about a transfer for you.
Yeah. No, I
I
absolutely
want
love her.
you
I would
off the
never.
force.
I would never. But no, I do say quite a bit, like back in my day, because like the kids will they'll my students. I'm a teacher. I don't know if you listen. My students, they'll complain about having to type something on their Chromebooks, but they'll also complain about having to write it down on paper. And I'll be like, back in my day, we didn't have the option. We had to write everything down and it had to be in cursive. Anyway, sorry. So I'm going to start saying back when I was in diapers. That's why I wrote it down. That's where the thought was going.
Deal. No, that's good. I'd rather you say, I'm so glad you're going to start saying back when I was in diapers, and all our listeners, depending on when they start listening, they can guess when you've started using diapers again or when you stopped. They can all just try to figure out that timeline. That's a great new game. That's a good idea. I mean.
Back when I was in diapers the first time.
I switched
Back
brands on the March 15th.
and back when I was in diapers the third time. Oh fuck, what happened to you?
Was on a new medication that had some unexpected side effects.
Right. I'm
The
sorry.
next,
Please
that's okay.
continue.
We're in the diaper scene now. Ben Urich and Karen Page meet up at the diner. Ben doesn't seem to be buying why her story is any different than any other ones he's attempted to cover in the past. He's kind of brushing her off, which we I think I kind of figured it out early in this conversation. I mean, I've seen this before, but it seems like he's trying to protect her, and he's mainly just trying to get her off the case to protect
Yeah.
her, and that turns out to be the case. I love the dynamic between them because this episode is one where we get a lot of Karen and Ben focus. And he says to her, in an attempt to do the right thing and get her off the case, he says that you don't understand how lucky you are. Count the angels on the head of a pin and move on. And I had never heard that phrase before in my life. And I looked into it a little
It's,
bit to see
yeah,
what the
I
fuck it
was gonna
meant.
say.
Do you
Go ahead.
know? Can you give me an explanation?
Nope, I can't because I didn't have enough time to Google it because I am stressed right now. But
No
please, because
worries.
I knew it was from something, and
That's
I can
okay.
honestly picture a video that I've watched of people explaining what it's from. Because isn't it's something that has to do with like infinity, like.
Well, essentially the origin of it is from the 17th century Protestants who mock medieval scholastics and how they would talk about angels. But when people say it now, what they're saying is essentially how many angels can stand on the point of a pin. This phrase, when used in modern context, can be used as a metaphor for wasting time debating topics of no practical value or questions whose answers hold no intellectual consequence. So, and there's older texts that say that two angels can't exist in the same space at the same time, so it defeats that. But otherwise, they're essentially saying that angels can be anywhere, they can be any size, they can be in any place at any time. So it's like a silly thing to argue about or try to count.
Yeah, okay. So that's whatever video I've seen is literally has like a pin on it, and it's like kind of cartoony, and it's like it puts two angels on the head of the pin, and then it's like, but angels can be any size, and so they make them smaller and then fit a whole lot more on, and they're like,
Yeah.
and it's like a whole thing for like there can be an infinite number of angels on the head of a pin if they are small enough. Or
It's
yeah,
funny
okay.
to think too, like the ties that that could have in a scientific application too, is that you're trying to get people think of things molecularly and like at the size of atoms, and it's like, oh my goodness, if you really break everything down, it's not countable. It's crazy to think of the world that way, because we see tangible things in front of us, we can see how big they are, and that's what we know, that's what we accept. Crazy stuff. There you go. Only here on the
We can't,
Avengers podcast.
I know we can't get too into that because that gives me existential crisis.
Well, then, before Ben leaves her at the diner, he says something about he's been digging into her past activities, which is something we know very little about. But it stops her Karen in her tracks. Instead, Karen decides to kind of work on his vanity and his morale, his sense of morality, and says, "I read every big story with your byline, the VA kickbacks, the toxic runoffs, the teachers' union scandal. Hell, you practically brought down the Italian mob back when I was in diapers." There's your diaper. There's your diaper quote.
Yeah, there's my diaper quote.
He says, she says, "Whatever happened to that reporter, Mr. Urich?" Ben sighs and says, "He got old and a hell of a lot less stupid."
And back
I
into
love
diapers.
back in a diaper. He got so old. He's in diapers himself, Miss Page. Yeah, it's nice to see that she can kind of pierce his armor a little bit with this moment, but he's really just looking to, because we know that he's at odds with what he's doing currently. He doesn't want to do fluff pieces. He's arguing with his editor. He wants to cover the big stuff he always has, but is it getting too deep for him? Is it getting too scary? He wants to be that guy again. So she's playing on his on that thing that she can see in him, and that hope that he is still that guy. So she ain't stupid, is what I enjoyed about that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And yeah, back when I was in diapers, I did poopies in them. No, I did enjoy, because we didn't get a lot of Ben in the last
Yeah.
episode, or was it two episodes ago? Whatever it was that we were introduced to him, it was like, okay, that was last episode. And so getting to see a little bit more from him was exciting. I was excited about it.
Samesies.
Yeah.
And we cut to what I'm gonna say is that it's not a relationship name, but the brothers I like to call the Vladatoli. They show up at Semyon's. I don't know how to say that guy's name. His hospital
Simeon.
room.
Yeah.
With flowers and epinephrine, the usual care package. They take off all of his monitors, they rip out his breathing tube, they stab him in the cardiac chamber, and any fans of Pulp Fiction will know this trick. If you know this one, have you seen that? It's good times.
Sorry, I thought I was gonna sneeze and then I didn't sneeze. And then you
Wonder
mentioned
what
Pulp
that you're like.
Fiction. That's, yeah.
You're like
Yeah.
head back from the microphone, but you're just pointing.
Because I was gonna sneeze.
Scrambling.
But
That's
no,
funny.
yeah, yeah, very, very Pulp Fiction. That 100%. The tube coming out of the nose, that's another icky for me. Ick, ick,
Ooh,
ick, ick, ick. I wanted to vomit. And how long it is.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's bizarre to think how long that fucking tube can be, and it just be comfortably in there because the guy's in a coma. So yeah, it's nuts. And
Comfortably.
they My favorite, yeah.
If you woke up, it would not be comfortably in there anymore.
True. Especially if you're about to wake up from epinephrine shot into your heart, which is a very sudden, jarring wake up. That's one of my favorite things from Pulp Fiction, when they have that scene. Spoilers for the one part of Pulp Fiction when they're trying to make sure that Uma Thurman's character is all right, and they're giving her a shot of epinephrine. They're reading they're themselves on drugs and scrambled and panicked, and they're reading the instructions on the package, and he says, you gotta get her in the heart with a stabbing motion, and John Travolta just goes, "I gotta stab her 3 times." He's like, no, just once, but you have to do it so hard it pierces the breastplate." But yeah, I just love that John Travolta is so doped up at the time, and he's just sitting there going, I gotta stab her three times. It's just a sweet spot in John Travolta's career that I enjoy.
That whole character, honestly, I feel like is a bit of a sweet spot in
True.
his career.
He's so lovably dumb in that movie, and also kind of realistic, kind of insightful. He's very charming. Very charming. That
Very charming.
and Look Who's Talking, two best John Travolta movies.
I haven't seen that one. But I do love the meme where he's in a field and just he's the, I don't think he's actually in a field. People put him in a field and he's just like,
I'll try and do it.
yeah. If you guys haven't been to youtube.com/Avengers podcast yet, you need to, because Keith just did. I mean, that's Oscar worthy right there. And I mean that. I mean that.
Thank you. My gosh. And the Oscars just happened. Shit.
Ah, oh, missed it. Missed it by a second.
Barbie would have stolen it, or Oppenheimer. I'm not sure.
Not Oppenheimer.
So they know that there's a risk with giving him this epinephrine. They know that it will likely wake him up out of this coma, but it'll probably inevitably kill him. And Atoli expresses his concerns about having Fisk on their bad sides, and that he has no interest in going backwards, back to that cell, or back to that torturous place that they spent 3 years in Siberia. He says, from princes of Moscow to shitting in buckets, I promised myself that if we ever got free, we'd never lose what we had again, especially not to pride. And Vladdy says, back when we had nothing, we agreed on everything. I love that fucking line. I love it so
Yeah.
much. It's a good one. He's heartbroken. He's heartbroken because there's a rift happening between them where he's seeing his brothers very subservient to this Fisk character, and that's not how they were raised. That's not how they do things. That's not how they used to do things. But they also ended up in a Serbian prison for that, so maybe they need some guidance. His brother says, Anatoly says, we've lost our way in this land of riches. Vladimir says, then let's find it again together. And they stab him in the heart with the, yeah, it's a beautiful moment. They
It
stab him
is
in
a
the heart.
beautiful moment, and then they stab him in the heart.
Semyon wakes up choking, his breathing tube is ripped out of his throat, and they attempt to question him, and he just utters the devil before giving them some kind of inaudible answer to where they can find the woman who was there that night. So I would imagine they gave the address because that's the only thing that makes sense. But then again,
Yeah.
rather than deal with it themselves, they send two more henchmen to go deal with the situation, and we have Sergei. And Sergei enters with some other henchmen, breaking into Claire's apartment. It's empty, but of course Santino is standing there, and Santino pisses me off so much in this moment. He's standing there frozen and just says, hola. Sergei just smiles and says, hola. Oh, yeah. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong fucking time. All the damn time,
Yeah.
Santino. Ugh, just stay in your
Santino.
room. Guy needs a
Yeah.
gaming console,
I
dude.
was gonna say, go play Fortnite. Good Lord, I guess this is what, 2015, 2014, 2015.
2015, yeah.
Yeah. So
So
I
it would be
guess, okay.
like, I don't know, Call of Duty 2.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Halo? No, Halo was before that. I mean, you can still play
I
Halo.
mean, there'd be some version of Halo on at the time, yeah,
Yeah.
probably. Yeah.
Stay in your room, man.
Did you have any other notes about this scene?
Nope. Nope. All of this I was watching intently and took no notes on.
But you were disgusted by the breathing tube, disgusted by the big needle going into the heart, I assume. Yeah, it's pretty gross
Yep. And
stuff.
honestly, the brothers are bad, so like I don't care that. Like, yes, they had a beautiful moment there in the hospital room of like, let's get back to power where we belong, blah 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 blah. It's like, okay, yeah, but like also you're horrible people. I've already seen you be horrible people in the first episode. So like I truly don't care. Like I would like for
Yeah.
you guys to die together,
Yeah. They're
but do not
literally
care.
human traffickers, and
Yeah.
we're like kind of being played to root for them a little bit before they expire.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, that sounds like Game of Thrones to me.
Oh, weird. Weird.
Every
This is.
villain, they can make you like them before they fucking behead the shit out of them or something. Yeah.
I usually Game of Thrones, it was like they would come around. Except for there's a couple that I can think of that I was like, oh God, no, fuck you. Right in the
Yeah. Yeah.
dick.
The show gets you mad at it.
Yeah.
And at the same in the same breath, I'm sitting there going, that's good TV.
Yeah,
Like, I'm
yeah,
like pissed that it took away one of my favorite characters, and then I'm like, that's good TV. Yeah,
yeah.
these aren't exactly my favorite characters at all, but they're my favorite in this episode. I'll give you
Well, they're the focal points in this episode. They should be your favorites in this episode.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry,
true.
I don't think that my mouth was in the mic. I was, I don't know, distracted.
Got to eat that
Oh no.
mic. That's what they say in interviews.
Eat that mic.
Eat it. Did you have dinner? No? Good. Eat that mic. We cut to Wesley telling Fisk that Anatoly seems like the more amenable, and that he'll be more likely to comply instead of his vitriolic brother. They stop at the art gallery so that Fisk can go in and talk to Vanessa and ask her on a date. He's a little nervy. He's blushing. He's a blushing kingpin at this moment. He says the painting that he bought is the last thing he sees every night. She says that's very sad. And he's stammering and asking her out. What did you think of him in this moment? Is he a good flirt? Has he got the
No, he ain't got that riz.
rizz?
He ain't got
You
that riz.
were
And it's. Go ahead.
you well, I was gonna say you'd mentioned something about his. I thought you said something about it early on when we started talking about this episode about him. I don't know, like having chemistry with her or something like that. Maybe not.
Did I?
What I was going to ask you is, do you? We know that Vincent D'Onofrio is very charming and pleasant in real life. Did you feel anything from Wilson Fisk? Was he doing it for you? Is he? Do you see the appeal here
Are you
in his
asking,
flirtation? Yeah, you.
but are you asking smash or pass?
I guess that's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Okay, pass. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
It
Okay.
is very endearing to see a man who on the outside is so very powerful, and you know a lot about that power, and I know a lot about that power just from watching Echo and seeing other things with him in it.
Yeah.
Being so flustered by talking to a lady. There's something very endearing, but I would not smash
Fair
at
enough.
all.
Fair enough.
However, I do think that his line, whenever she says something like, I have to work here for another 3 hours or something, and he's like, it's like,
He's
what
about
are
to
you
walk
gonna?
away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
And
she's
then
like,
she
what, you're not
says,
gonna
like,
buy the whole gallery so that I can go home early? And he says, a woman who can be bought isn't worth having. Fucking
a good
that
line.
is a smash line,
He kind of
but
whispered
still.
it close to her face too. He like walked and wandered up to her right side to side and was like saying it pretty close. Like that was pretty
It
hot,
was
right?
hot and kind of intimidating, but like
Yeah,
intimidating
with
in a
it.
hot way, not like a predatory way, or not
Yeah, of course,
predator,
of
but like
course.
a,
He's not
yeah, it was like
scaring
a,
her into a date. He's like showing some intensity that is
yeah,
at least, yeah, enjoyable for this moment anyways. And then
and
later, not so much.
like I'm not just asking people out all willy-nilly, like I am very intentional, like you said, intentional about the people that I'm asking out, and I'm not just gonna ask somebody out who is so easily swayed by money and
Yeah, because
power.
he's like, I
That
don't do this much.
was nice. That was a thumbs up for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of it was an ick. Was an
And
ick.
she, yeah, because she's like, she's like, I'm partial to Italian food. And he's like, we agree on more than art. I see. I
Yeah,
was
I
like,
think maybe
okay.
the voice might be an ick for me too. It does seem very Vincent D'Onofrio does a fantastic job. Excuse me. I keep burping and I'm trying not to do it directly into the mic. I'm
That's very
sorry.
appreciated, Emmy. Thank you.
I Daddy Brandon taught me well. But no, he the voice. He does a fantastic job of making it fit the character, But I think taking the voice outside of the character,
Yeah.
just it's very much like, where is he? The Batman voice. Like, I can't.
Swear to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I can't be in
Where
bed
are
with
the
somebody.
drugs going?
I can't be in bed with somebody who says that or is like, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'd be like, don't, no, actually, it's okay. Please don't.
Or even just something innocuous like pass the Funyuns. Like that's yeah, you can't yeah, that's fair. It makes everything sound like some kind of death order. And it's like, oh dear. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
I
Sorry, go ahead.
okay. All right. I have a point here. I think I can art.
Nice. You think you can art? What do you
I
mean?
can't
Based on
art.
the art that you're looking in the background of this episode, this scene?
It's all gradients of one color.
She does
Let me tell you
specialize,
what.
it seems.
Let me tell you what. I can do that. And I
It's
do. I
cheaper
truly.
too.
Yeah, right? I hate it when people look at art and like who's the guy that did the It's All Blocks? It's not Jackson Pollock, he's the splooge guy.
It's all blocks.
It's all
Famous
blocks. It's
painter,
white
all
and it's all
blocks.
red, blue, yellow with
Mondrian?
black lines
I don't
on
know.
it. It's a like a famous painting.
Yes,
And
Piet Mondrian. I don't
okay.
know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it does look like it says Piet Mondrian.
Mondrian.
I'm sure
But
it's
people see
wrong,
that and they're like, oh, I could do that. It's like, yeah,
but
okay, but you didn't. So
yeah.
starve.
But you're different. You think you could do this, is what you're saying.
Okay, yeah, but I haven't. And I'm saying I should.
Wow, who has the time?
Who has the time? I don't.
Do you have anything else for this
Nope.
Vanessa D'Onofrio or Vanessa Fisk moment
No,
with all its
I don't.
intensity and sweatiness? We cut to Claire. After taking an allergy pill and calling the cat a bastard, she hears a shuffling and gets out her phone right away. I like how smart Claire is. It's one thing that I enjoy
Yeah.
about when there is a, I don't want to even consider her a damsel in distress, but when a woman is used in a situation like this where she's the victim or a captive of some kind, I like when they're smarter. I like when they fight back. It's endear, it's good to see because you know, you just don't want to see them portrayed the other way. So it's just, especially in 2015, even, which is almost 10 years ago. Agreed. So anyways, then we cut to really quickly, Foggy and Matt are talking about bailing out an electrician, another case that Foggy really doesn't love because it's not paying very much. He goes into his speech. He says, "My mom wanted me to be a butcher. I could be carving my own corned beef, making my own pickles." Matt asks him, you know, or no, Foggy actually brings up, what if Landman and Zach was the way to go? And that's the big firm that they were interning at. And he says, "You hated interning there." He says, "Yeah, but I hate being broke." They had fresh bagels every morning, every morning. Matt assures him that they're doing the right thing here and that they're making a difference. And Matt's burner phone starts to ring. Foggy doesn't recognize it and immediately asks if he can afford another phone. And Foggy says, "You've got a phone for your girls. Just a gotta, all right, you got a phone for your girls. My life sucks." And Foggy drives off. What were you gonna say? I know I rushed through that part.
No, you didn't. No. Did you have the note that I had about this scene?
I don't
It
know.
doesn't seem like you
What note
did.
did you have? Maybe, maybe
Okay.
not.
Foggy is guiding Matt
Yes.
and says, "Let's cross," and makes him
Yeah.
jaywalk.
Yes.
And that made me giggle.
I didn't write that, but you're right. He does just say, "Let's cross."
Yep. So hard. So hard I was giggling.
Yeah.
Also, Foggy in this episode, I'm sorry. The acting, not Oscar worthy, in my
Yeah,
opinion.
I get
Does it
you.
need to be Oscar worthy? No, but it needs to be a little bit better, bro.
Yeah. I think his character shines the bigger the scenes they give him, and this he's barely in this one. He's barely in this.
Fair,
he had a
fair.
Really, his best moment so far in the first four is probably when he and Karen got drunk all night.
Yeah.
That was probably the best episode for Foggy, at least his acting skills. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. That's a really good point. But also the fact that he had to act drunk. Like, did that help?
Yeah.
If he
Maybe.
doesn't have acting skills, did that help?
Like, ideally, a good actor would be convincing and believable and everything in no matter how many lines you gave in that episode. But I think that he's a guy who's a little Mark Green, even though he has been acting since being a child. He's just not been given a role like this before. It's a lot of words.
and I feel like you need to
growing, so.
warm up to a character. So like if you don't give him time to warm up to the character and it's just like say this line, and then you're done for the episode, that's not a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
But okay. Also, they showed the cat and I was like, nothing bad better happen to that fucking cat or I will riot.
I don't think I've ever reviewed nor will review anything where something bad happens to a cat. You can see I have cat ears as well as regular ears currently. I am a cat person if you're watching.
You can't
on YouTube.
See your regular ears.
Oh, you're right. I do have
them. You do have them.
I have three cats of my own. I would be very disappointed if a cat got harmed in the making of this show or in just the writing of this show.
Yeah. I am glad that you say that because when they showed the cat, I was like, fucking hell.
I also related to Claire when she was calling the cat a bastard. That's another thing that a cat owner has to.
Oh, yeah. It's you got to hold two thoughts in each hand. Yes, I love you so much and would die for you, but also you're a bastard.
Get off the desk. I'm just trying to type one email. Yes. Come on.
Yeah.
Matt answers the burner phone. He can hear that Claire is in a struggle. She's being attacked, and he switches into parkour mode. He's busting through doors too late. He's throwing chairs in frustration, and he sticks his head out the window to try and listen for any kind of lead in the area because he knows he just missed her. He hears Russian, and he hears the name Santino, and then we cut away. Do you have any notes before we move on?
Poor Claire, first of all, and then I think this leads into where you're going with this, but the surfaces, I've not been to New York, but the surfaces in New York make a lot of sound, and so I do feel like this is an ideal place for someone who uses some sort of echolocation to be, because every time when he's chasing her down, every time he lands, it's like bang.
100%. He would be lost. He would be lost in a farm or some kind of rural setting. Same as Spider-Man when they joke in what is it? Not No Way Home, not Far From Home, Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming, when their friendly neighborhood Spider-Man has to go through a kind of suburban neighborhood,
and he
can't get to the golf course, and he can't web sling to anything. So it's pretty funny, but I don't know that we'll ever be able to laugh at someone with a disability like Daredevil. So they'll never probably show him in a farmland, but he can parkour a building or two. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It comes in handy. It's a jungle. It's a concrete jungle. And he is Tarzan.
What is? No, I don't want to say the name wrong. Concrete jungle where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do in New York. You're welcome.
Hell's Kitchen.
For that.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm not even gonna try. I'll get it wrong. And everybody will yell at me and
I want to say it's Alicia Keys, isn't it?
That's what I thought too, but I've gotten her and somebody named Vanessa.
No.
Not Hudgens, and that's the only one that's coming to me now. Vanessa.
Okay. Fire?
Lachey. No.
Lachey.
No, not Lachey. No, Vanessa Lachey is Nick Lachey's wife, who co-hosts Love is Blind. What?
Ew.
Full circle. No, that's not a circle. That's a...
It's an obelisk.
At best.
We cut to Karen, who is now at an auction, and she's watching at who's bidding on the Union Allied computers, copy machines, phones, everything like that. She's sketching their faces as best she can as they're auctioning, as they're bidding. Ben suddenly appears behind her, tells her to stop, warns her that this is how she gets caught. He points out that there's two other people at least that are not bidding, and it looks suspicious. He tells her to bid on one smaller lot and just meet him back at the diner. Did you have any notes for that short scene?
I do not, because I was highly invested at this point. What I will say is, when did Karen learn to draw like that?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's
Like,
like
she
one of
was just
those
gonna
talents
sketch
that,
faces.
hey, there are a ton of struggling artists out there that you'd never know they draw because they probably gave up on it too soon because it doesn't make people money like it used to, and it sucks that it doesn't. But that's always a fun thing when I find out that someone I've known for, months or even years has like talent like that, where it's just like, holy shit, you're just doodling, you're just sketching, and that turned out fucking
And
great. That was like
that,
3 seconds. Holy shit. Yeah, it's really cool.
yeah, no.
We cut to Velez Taxi Dispatch, the taxi garage. The Russians yank Claire out of the trunk. She does not go easy, which I loved. Matt finds Santino and he's a little shook up. And finally, I feel bad for him because he's been punched. He says he didn't mean to talk, but they took him up to the roof and they said they'd come back for his mother if he ever said anything. But he knows that they got into a cab that seemed like theirs and it said Velez Taxi on the side. So Matt has got his lead. He's off.
Nice. I love that he's helping her. So sneaky, like, just being
Yeah.
a little sneaky snake.
I think he feels so like this is one of those things they talk about a little bit later, but he feels responsible for her now. Like he's involved her in something that he never had a person to patch him up before. He never wanted anybody. Like the first person that you'd think would be tied up in his bullshit is Foggy. And he just separates himself entirely from that person. He just doesn't ever let them in, really, not fully, anyways. And he thinks that's enough. That's how he's going to do it. But then he finds a person in Claire that can patch him up and is willing to keep his identity a secret and understand his fight. And now he's suffering those consequences because those people become the targets. So, yeah,
Yeah.
scary stuff.
I
It's
like I
something
said,
everybody listening should think about before they become a vigilante. Just think about that, you know?
who's gonna patch you up? Make sure,
Gonna put you
make
in
sure.
jeopardy?
Make sure
Who's gonna,
you line
yeah.
up. Who's gonna patch you up before you get hurt bad enough to need it?
Yeah. Make sure you know somebody who is either a nurse or has seen a lot of YouTube tutorials. Next week, we get a scene with Fisk and Vanessa. They're choosing a wine for their lovely evening. She makes a bad joke about, oh, if he chose the wine, then maybe I should be having dinner with your assistant. It seems tense. Fisk talks about how he grew up in Hell's Kitchen and how at 12 his mom sent him away to go live with relatives on a farm in the middle of nowhere. But he did come back, and with time and distance, he gained some clarity. The city was in his blood, and he'd do anything to make it better for people like her. When he said people like her, what I envisioned or what I imagined was he only cares about rich people.
Okay, I think that has some merit there. 100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you have, did you, what
Damn.
did you think of their little date that they're having?
I had the feminine rage lives deep inside of me. And so whenever they let Fisk try the wine and they didn't let her try the wine, I was
True.
like, I had a moment, but then I was like, all right, he's the one that's buying it, and he does say, I hope you like it, but like, we
Yeah.
had she tried
True.
it, we would have known, and you would have been like, oh no, a different one, please. But yeah,
Because they have
that's
him try the wine, they're assuming that he is the wine decider, which is, yeah, you're right, that is sexist. And then
well,
afterwards he's like, well, I don't really know wine. And it's like, well, then why are we having you try it?
Yeah,
Give some
that's fair.
Vanessa the first time.
That's fair too. But no, I assume that he ordered it, and therefore the sommelier or whatever they are get to like since you ordered it here, you try it. Is this what you wanted?
Yeah.
I the feminine rage dissipated quickly. Well, it didn't dissipate. It just went back into its lair.
Redirected. Yeah.
Its lair, which is also my
Skulking.
hoo-ha. But yeah, I have the note in my blood community, but honestly, I don't know why I wrote that down anymore.
You have the note that says what? Oh, that he,
Oh
oh, that, yeah.
no. No, I do know why I wrote that down. Did you ever watch Community?
Yes. Oh,
Oh.
yes. I think that's in like the pilot episode too. Is
The
are you
die.
talking about the part where Jeff is trying to convince Troy to go back to playing football? Yeah, and he's like, it's in your blood, and he's like, that's racist. He's just like, and he's like, your heart? It
Or
keeps
no,
turning
your
black.
eyes. That's gay.
That's
It's
gay.
in your. He says
He's, I
something, and
think
he
when
goes,
he
that's.
accuses Jeff of being gay, then he goes, that's racist. Like he throws it back in his face somehow. I don't know. It's a really, I do know what you're talking about though. And it's been years since I've seen that scene, but I do remember that being like, I think it's like episode three or something. And when you see that scene and how quickly it just flies off both of them so
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, okay, we're watching something different. This is special.
Yes, it
It's a
is.
good show.
It is. And every time I hear now in my blood, I'm like, that's racist.
It's racist. He's
But
like
it's not,
that. Yeah, because it goes, that's racist, and then it's
it's
like that's
you should
black,
go
and then it's
back
like
to.
that's gay, and then he's like, that's racist. Yeah, it goes in a full circle.
Yeah. Well, the full circle though, because I think that Donald Glover says that's black, meaning black humor. And
Right.
then Joel McHale gets to say
Right.
that's racist. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the
Yep.
full joke. If you
That's the
haven't
full
seen
joke.
it, go watch it. We did
Yeah.
not do it well.
Donald Glover in that scene. Joel McHale and Donald Glover bounce off each other very well in that show. And it's just, I'm excited for the movie. They will have a movie eventually. They're working on it
Does that
currently.
wait? Is it 6 seasons and it is, isn't it?
It will be six seasons in a movie. They've
Oh my
fulfilled their
God.
own.
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yeah. And
Oh.
I believe it will be about Abed making a movie. So that'll be very, very
God,
meta, just
even
like the show.
better.
Yeah.
Fucking even better.
Okay, so we get back to Claire, a very badly beaten Claire at this point. They've smashed her face, they've slammed her into a folding chair against a cab door, and they're smashing the window by her ear. They keep slamming down the bat. Sergei is a fucking douche. I hate this guy. We're supposed to hate this guy. I get it. But whew. Man, he says, I will begin breaking you piece at a time. Which is just a terrible thing to say to anybody, but to Rosario Dawson, piece of shit.
How very dare.
How
How
very dare
very
you?
dare you.
And then all the lights shut off, and Claire starts laughing maniacally.
Oh,
She says, you
my.
want to know his name, you ask him yourself.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. When she started laughing, I was like, yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I in scary situations, I feel like I have very weird reactions, and I think that would be one of them, especially if I knew what was about to happen and whose asses were about to get handed up on a platter. And
Claire is not your
Claire.
typical friend of a hero. She is the night nurse.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And she
She's
knows what's
awesome.
about to happen, and she thinks it's fucking hysterical, and I get it. I think it's also hysterical because fuck them. They have everything that's coming to them. They deserve 100%.
And what I like about Matt is like, we know that Matt is pissed in this moment. We know he is furious. He's thrown a chair in this episode. You ever known him to throw a chair?
I threw a chair. I threw a
You threw a
chair
chair.
yesterday. I threw a chair.
Where? When?
My co-teacher has a bungee chair, and I was trying to show how fed up I was with the paperwork that comes with being a special education teacher. I go, did you guys know I'm a teacher? And so I threw the bungee chair.
Did it bounce right back and knock you over? What the hell is a bungee chair? I'm trying to remember. Is it like a is it one of those
It is
rings
a.
that the chair itself is held by bungees inside a giant like circle?
Yes, it is a giant circle that has
Okay.
bungee cords basically going back and forth. It's like a spider web of bungee cords. And yeah, and I didn't, I say I threw it. I kicked it over in a display of frustration.
The truth
And
comes out. She kicked it over, guys.
I broke a nail because I also did push it over afterwards because somebody else came in the room and I had to show the same display of frustration. I hate these moments when you're laughing and nobody can hear you laughing. And so it just seems like I'm laughing at myself.
I'll
Oh,
try to
thank
be more.
you.
I'll try to be louder. I'll try to be
Yeah.
louder. My impish Canadian laugh is so quiet up here.
No, you're
I've
fine.
got my dad's laugh. It's very smoky. But no, it's
it's a
that's
me issue, I
hilarious.
feel like.
I know what you mean though. Like to, because you'll make me howl laughing regularly, and yeah, if it's not audible, please know, please watch the YouTube channel, because yeah, she's got me in hysterics quite often.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I did push over a bungee chair yesterday. So
When
yeah,
you said
okay,
that, I just
you.
imagined the bungee chair. You kicked a bungee, you threw a bungee chair is the way you started out. I just imagined the thing that's happening recently in memes where they just play it in reverse and add a boing sound and it just comes back and hits you. But this ain't a bungee chair and you didn't actually throw it. This isn't the
No.
bungee I'm thinking
Well, I
of.
kicked it over and then I pushed it over later. But it's
Nice.
karma happened and I broke a nail.
I hear
So
you.
I am
Karma.
still frustrated. It did make me feel a little bit better, for being
There
honest.
you
And
go.
also, it's nice to know that it's a trend right now to hear the boing sound because sixth period today was all moing.
What
And
do you
every
mean?
time all of my students were doing it
They were just doing it with their just their sounds with their mouths.
with their mouths.
They were going boing.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's how TikTok and meme trends transcend into a, because are they allowed their phones? I don't know how this works.
Not in school, no.
So they do they keep their phones in their pocket or their locker or their bag or something, and then
We have
you don't
lockers.
confiscate them.
We have lockers that we have not used since COVID. And I'm not really sure currently what the explanation for that is currently.
It doesn't make
You
sense.
know,
COVID can't hide
COVID's
in the
not a thing.
lockers. That
I
doesn't make
know.
any fucking sense.
Yeah. But
They're
no,
touching
so
everything else. I don't get it.
nobody's wearing masks. Like, yeah, COVID has, it's gone. So why?
It's gone, guys. Yeah.
But no, they are not allowed to have their phones out, but they can be in like pockets or backpacks.
Okay.
But
That
yeah.
makes more sense. So that's how they get by, is they're just their meme-filled brains are making the sounds that they'd love to apply to this if they had their phone out, which would be boing.
Not even apply to this, just the sounds that they have heard on TikTok immediately come out of their brains before it even gets filtered through anything else. And so they're just like,
Oh, man.
boing, throwing out my yap for the Rizzler. Boing, boing, boing.
Oh, to be
Skibbity
young
toilet,
again.
skibbity toilet,
Oh,
skibbity.
God, please don't
Oh, drip,
skibbity
drip, drip,
toilet.
drip, drip. Water splash, splash, water, drip, drip.
I was
Yeah,
so
that is.
mad for the no, you know what it probably was? It was probably 30 fucking minutes when I visited my nephew last, I don't know, it was probably his 5th birthday last summer, and I sat through 30 minutes of skibbity toilet compilations on YouTube.
Oh,
And I
no.
was like, I don't want to know what this is or why. And then I showed one of them to my wife when I got back. And I was like, you got to see how fucking
No.
inane
Oh,
this is,
no.
how insane. I get it. He's 5. I don't care. It's not going to affect him. He's very intelligent. It's not going to screw him up for long. But I showed one video to my wife, instant recommendations on YouTube the next day of skibbity, skibbity this, skibbity that. I'm like, I hate
Oh.
everything that the internet is now.
Oh
It made
no.
my soul crumble up like a piece of tissue paper. I was so mad. I was like, the stereo head guy, there's a TV monitor head guy, and they're fighting a skibbity toilet in a big war. And I'm like, this is cute, but for how long can
No,
we
it's not,
operate
it's
like this?
one. One video. It's
I
cute
used
for
to watch
not even cute.
quality television as a child. At his age, at 5 years old, I was watching some good shit, I think.
Mighty
It
Morphin Power
certainly wasn't.
Rangers.
But yeah, it was like it was a combination of that, and it was a combination of like sitcoms that adults would get more, but I would try to get the best I could. Like it was an amalgamation of a bunch of stuff that was on at the time, and none of it was this like weird skibbity toilet shit that just doesn't mean anything. It doesn't say anything, doesn't teach anything.
No.
And if the sarcasm that I learned from the night, this is for, most importantly, what children should learn is sarcasm. The sarcasm that I learned from watching sitcoms in the 90s to see this and go, what are they going to learn? What is the thing they're going to get from this?
Let me answer your question. It's
Okay.
echolalia, and it's when you repeat the stuff that you have heard,
Yes.
and they just do it. And for
So what are
some
they going to
reason,
repeat?
skibidi toilet,
Alarm sounds and
alarm
explosion
sounds.
sounds
Yep. It's
and
just,
skibbity
yep.
toilet. Oh
Skibidi
my
toilet.
God.
Anything that is I think I like this little life. Like that, all of that, they repeat, and because others in their generation have seen something that has made them giggle that has that same sound on it,
Yeah.
just hearing that sound makes them giggle, and therefore they're rewarded for just saying the sound. Did that make sense?
It did. It did make sense. And
I
it
just figured
only
out Gen
made
Z
me
or
more
Generation
upset.
Alpha.
Yeah. Alpha. Alpha.
Because yeah,
We're all the
today it
way
was
back to
just
Alpha.
we are starting at the beginning. And when I say the beginning, I mean these kids are feral, man.
The very
Feral.
best place to
Feral.
start.
But no, like today in class it was just like boing, 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 boing. And like that for some of them was enough to have them in stitches, like crying laughing.
Look, I'll tell you, listen, a really good strain of indica can get you to that laughter with a boing sound. Don't get me wrong, but children, don't do drugs until all your synapses have fired. But there are some great, like there's some great meme fart sounds, there's some great meme explosion sounds. I get a good sound effect. I get a good sound bite. Don't get me wrong. But when there's nothing to apply it to of any substance, that puts me in a funk.
Right? Have you tried
Yeah.
teaching?
No, I feel like I'd be the one throwing the bungee chair, and it wouldn't go boing. I'll tell you that much. It would go smash, and they'd be like, Mr. Saunders, why did you ruin the window? And I'll be like, shut up. Yeah. Got dead silence. I am a curmudgeon. I've never sounded older in my life. You might have frozen. Now I'm insecure. Are you okay? Are you still there? It's the longest freeze. And she's back. Okay, cool.
I
You
froze
I can
hard.
you did. I can see you moving now.
Okay,
What?
good. Good,
Okay.
good.
Okay, cool.
I just stayed really still. Like if a T-Rex was around, I was like, maybe if I stay still, it won't think I'm frozen. It'll just
I
think I'm
won't lash
still.
out at you. I promise. I
It's
won't
a
be the
fucking
T-Rex.
Comcast.
I thought you were trying to say that you're holding still to keep my rage at bay. You're like, I don't want to make Mr. Saunders upset. He's going to throw a bungee chair.
No. And I let me say this. I was in a room with other educators. There were no students in the room who saw me kick,
Yeah,
punch,
yeah,
and
yeah.
shove the bungee chair. And
Abuse
it was,
that bungee chair.
I did. And when it breaks, I will blame the children.
Like, well, they don't treat it right.
No, and they don't. They truly don't. But I will never tell them that I kicked it. But let me tell you, it did make my Thursday better.
Nice.
All right. Okay. That was a tangent.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
that was an off the rails like we have not seen since Brandon's leaving, so since Brandon's break.
So this is on you, Brandon.
No, this is on me. I am in rare form tonight. I apologize, guys. But we are back. Okay, so they track him. Okay, so Matt is, what I was saying is Matt gets pissed. We know Matt's pissed because Claire has been taken and it's his fault. And
Yeah.
he's already expressed this to Santino. He's mad because someone he let in to his circle of trust has been taken and they're getting abused. And but the nice thing about Daredevil, the nice thing about Matt Murdock is him being mad doesn't make him reckless, doesn't make him less cautious.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
just makes him more focused, and he's throwing metal pipes to distract them and make them think he's this way, make them think he's that way. He takes a guy out with a fucking tire iron to the head. Like he knows where all of them are, and they have no clue where he is. They're shooting off their big fucking guns in every direction. What do they say? When you're packing heat, they got strapped recently. And so they got all the guns, and they're shooting all the guns into nothing, into darkness. They have no clue where
Yeah.
he is. And Sergei is the last one left around, and he grabs Claire for added assurance, and he's determined to walk out of there. He says to Matt, Matt says, "Put down the gun, or I promise you'll never hold anything in that hand again." And he fulfills that promise. He says, "It hurts, doesn't it?" He breaks the guy's hand. He says, "It hurts, doesn't it? Being in pain, being afraid." And Claire actually throws the final blow, bludgeoning Sergei over the head with his own bat. She immediately crumbles into Matt's arms, probably finally able to release whatever tension and shock that she's been in. She crumbles in his arms. She starts sobbing. And he comforts her. And it's just this incredible moment for both Claire's character to come through and be a part of this movement that Matt's doing and believe in him more. She believes in him very hard, and it comes up in the next scene. But yeah, what did you think?
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible. I will start with my stupid note. Have you ever had a Hertz donut?
No, what's that?
That's when someone, well, if we didn't live in two different countries, I would punch you in the arm and say, Hertz donut.
I knew the second you said it, I was like, how's she gonna elicit this? How's she gonna execute this joke? You have to
Oh.
hit me. Punch the
Yeah.
screen. Let's try that. Let's just do take
All
two.
right, all
Take
right, all
two.
right, all right, ready? Have you ever had a Hertz donut?
No, what's that?
Oh, Hertz donut. Oh, there
Oh!
we go. Okay.
Emmy!
So this is cross, this is international. This has hit
This is
everybody.
war.
Oh, God. No, I mean like Hertz donuts are a thing everywhere, yeah?
They are. I
Okay.
had heard of this before, and yes, we did it to each other all the time in school. We also had punch buggies as well,
Yes. Oh
for
yeah.
those
It's
interested.
any reason, any explanation to punch another person, you took. Yeah. Punch buggy.
Hell
We used
yeah.
to do like punch red car.
Kids gotta
That
get,
got aggressive.
they gotta get the, yeah, they gotta get the what do you call it out? Energy, I guess, is the safest way to refer to it.
Aggression.
The aggression, yeah. Get it out somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Hurts so net. Yes. I like that.
I'm glad that we were able to accomplish that internationally.
I did too. I am really glad. All right. Okay. So she tried to escape, and then she's like trying to get like the duct tape off. Girl, listen, I would have rolled under the car.
Yeah,
I have
seriously, I
nothing to
was
give to this fight.
same.
I will be down here. Let me know when you're done.
But she wanted to help him. She wanted to
And
be a superhero herself. I think there's a certain thing calling out to Claire that says, "You can do this too."
you can, yeah. You can also be really beneficial in this. And you know what? I am not that person. I'm not strong enough, but she is, and good on her for doing that. She does deal that final blow, and that was a badass fucking moment. Him holding her when she crumples into his arms and he's just holding her, it gave me. You watched The Last of Us. Of Us, yes.
I watched The Last of Us. Yes,
Yes.
I
Did
did.
I put that whole sentence together into one word?
I thought at first you said, did you watch Lost? And I have also watched that.
Okay.
So.
You've watched all the things. Okay. All right, cool. Him holding her gave me Pedro with Ellie at the end of that one episode where he's like, "Girl, I got you. I got you."
Yeah, where she's just had like a rage, like a first in her life,
Yes. Yes.
experience. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that was, and I think that this was the same vibe. Like this
Agreed.
was the first time that she inflicted harm on someone instead of trying to help someone,
Yeah,
which that
her
harm
adrenaline's
was,
running high. Yeah.
yeah, and that harm was absolutely warranted because
Oh yeah.
fuck that guy.
Oh yeah. Sergey sucks.
But this was a great escape scene. I cannot fault it.
Yeah, it's a good time. She's had a rough night, and we cut to Karen meeting up with Ben again after the auction at the diner, and she said that she did as he said and won some office equipment and now owes Nelson and Murdoch $3,500. She's pretty sure she's getting fired tomorrow. Sounds like Foggy is actually excited or needs some equipment to feel like this venture is a real deal. But we'll get to that later. He says, but it beats the alternative. He says, we get confirmation that the only reason that he was at that auction was because he wanted to investigate the story himself alone and get her out of harm's way. Ben explains that he's lost many people who've tipped him off to certain stories in the past. They got either bumped off or their reputations were tarnished. He says they underestimate what the people in power will do to stay there, which is another great line. I think this one's like goes in the top five lines of the episode. Karen asks about the woman who helped him on one of his earliest articles. He said that she suffered the worst fate. She married beneath her to a workaholic who never appreciated her. He's talking about his wife.
Oh, yeah, I punched my mic, but also, yeah, I figured that out too. You're welcome. I'm not a big old dummy dumb. Well, I am sometimes.
I thought it was a very like well balanced thing that he was clearly talking about his wife, but he's also keeping it kind of, and it was a nice just detail to know that that's how they met, was that she came to him because he was a journalist and he could help her and she could help him and they stayed together. But yeah, he's clearly feeling some guilt over her current situation and her, I think I want to say she's battling cancer, and she's in the hospital, so yeah.
See, that detail was so small in whatever episode that was that I had already forgotten that. Like,
Yeah,
he mentioned his wife in this episode, and I was just like, I don't know her.
yeah,
Or his.
I know they're not focusing on him much or his story very much, at least not yet. He says he's essentially willing to work with Karen, but they have to play it smart. They have to be smarter than the others. They have to never meet at the office. Don't tell anybody about this. And those are his conditions. And he basically says, if you can't follow those, fuck off. He advises her to sign the agreement, take the hush money, and he's willing to be the one who's attaching his name to the expose, because she says, if I take the hush money, I'll never be able to talk about this in public ever again. And he says, yeah, but I'm not signing the deal. I'm not taking that money. So he's taking the risk and he's getting her off their radar. Did
And
you have any notes about this?
she's
Go ahead.
getting loaded off of it.
That too is like, okay, well, there comes your problem with having $3,500 worth of equipment you just got for the law firm. You could take that hush money, which is much more than that, I assume. I can't remember if we actually got a number, but it's got to be more than 3,500.
I want to say 300 million, but that is a number that I just pulled right out of my butthole.
That did sound like a butthole
Boop.
number, if I'm being honest. If I'm being
Right here.
Amish. There it is.
Yep,
It's
I
that
just
butthole number.
whoop. Sorry. I didn't have any other notes.
So playful. So he advises her to sign the agreement. Okay, so sorry, we're skipping ahead. Vladitoli arrives at the garage with all their men beaten and bloody, and Anatoly gets a call saying that Fisk has come out of hiding. A friend of theirs has noticed that Fisk is in the public. Anatoly says he needs his help, or they need his help. And Vladimir says he's not willing to bow down, but Anatoly says he'll go and represent the both of them. Vladimir is seeing the wrath that Matt can bring. Agrees for to let Anatoly go and meet with Fisk himself alone and make the deal to get their help. Fisk and Vanessa agree to split a zuppa, which I had to look up. It is an Italian dessert that is essentially custard and sponge cake layered on top of each other. It sounds really
It's a
delicious.
zuppa anglaise. Say, I say everything with
Zuppa
this.
anglese.
I say it with a Spanish. Was that a Spanish accent?
Yes.
You did an Italian accent. I think I was
Sure.
trying to
Well,
get
I
a
just used
Spanish.
more hand gestures.
Oh.
And if you're watching us on YouTube, you'll know that I'm speaking Italian properly. And Emmy is not. She's speaking
Well, no, because I
Italian
was trying to
Spanishly.
do Spanish. Zuppa anglese, which he says is a dessert for kids, which I'm sorry. I've never heard of that. 35 years of life. And I
It's
know I'm a teacher,
for
so I
all
am poor.
it's for all those people who bring their kids to the upper echelon Italian restaurants in the high rises of New York and get their kids some zuppa while they do the maze with their crayons. I don't think that exists very much very often for kids. But yeah, that's
But
what
you
they
said
split.
it's ice cream with sponge cake?
It's
Oh no,
custard.
custard cream.
Custard with yeah, custard with sponge
Or
cake.
custard with sponge cake. I'm sure I've seen that on the Great British Bake Off, and I think that they probably
Oh, that
call it
makes
something
sense.
else.
Probably. She says it's good to travel outside their comfort zones, and he says, yes, we get caught up in what we're doing or who we think we are. And she says, so who are you, Wilson? Tonight I'm just a man. Enjoying the company of a captivating woman. What'd you think of that?
I'm just a boy looking at a girl, wanting him to love me.
Any more obvious?
Oh no, I was going with I
Oh,
okay,
okay.
I haven't seen this movie, but and I'm probably wrong again. I think it's When Harry Met Sally. I'm just a girl who loves a boy, asking her or asking him. I one or the other.
I'm just
Maybe
a
it's,
girl who loves a boy. I know the quote you're talking about. I don't think it's
yeah.
Harry and Sally who loves a
It
boy
might be
because
Say
they're
Anything
well
now that
into
I'm
their
thinking about it,
30s.
because now I want to do this, which is wrong. Which that's a
Wait, can you tell me anything beyond the word boy in that quote? I'm just a
I'm
girl.
just a I'm just a man looking at a woman asking
I'm also just
her.
a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her is from Notting Hill with Julia Roberts
Okay,
and
all right.
Hugh
Yeah, all
Grant.
right. Okay.
Sorry.
I know movies. I
You
just
know what
don't
though?
know which movies are which movies.
Notting Hill and Harry Met Sally are less on my radar than Airplane and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So I will give you that. The rom-com fan in me is not as strong as the just comedy fan. So
Okay.
I get it.
Cuz I just I will I'll fuck it up. It's fine. And then, yeah. And then the fact that I wanted to do this for Say Anything, John Cusack was who I was trying to think of.
Yep.
Standing,
100%.
and I don't know what he says in that movie, but it's
He says,
somehow
say
similar.
anything. Just say anything,
Say
please.
Anything.
God, I've
And you
been
know
waiting here
what?
holding this fucking stereo for 4 hours. Can you please just say something? That'd be great. Any.
Anything could involve. I'm just a girl in front of a boy asking.
I'm just a
Wait, now I
skater
don't remember
girl.
who's talking.
Good enough for.
All right. No, keep going. I'm sorry.
He says, "I'm just a man enjoying the company of a captivating woman." Anatoly interrupts. Good old Anatoly, the Russian brother we're rooting for, the one who's compliable, amiable. He walks into this restaurant thinking that this is the best way to meet with Fisk. One of his guys spotted Fisk there, and he's just going to go for it. Wesley tries to stop him. Then you see about 10 other guys from tables surrounding Fisk and Vanessa rise up out of their chairs and start just circling Fisk in protection. That was scary as fuck. That's like a scene out of like what I thought like a invade. Oh, what the hell is it?
Oh no. Oh, are we struggling to come up with a movie now? I'm
No, the name
sorry.
of this the series from the summer. The MCU series. Oh my God.
Oh,
Invasion.
Invasion, Secret Invasion.
Thank you. Secret Invasion, when everybody stands up
Yeah.
around and you know that they're all Skrulls and he's
I'm
got a
really
very huge. What?
I'm really sorry that I tried to make fun of you for... Oh, are you
Oh,
struggling to come up with a movie now? Like I have any legs to stand on there.
you'll never
I
get me.
don't.
You'll never
No.
get me.
I won't. And I thought I had, and I
You
am
kind of did. You kind of did.
a
I'm just fucking
dick.
around. No, yeah, you're absolutely right to have gotten me there. Secret Invasion, when they show the power of the villain, right? And the fact that he's always surrounded by people protecting him. This is the, to me, the better executed version of that. It was very cool to see in
Yeah.
Secret Invasion, but just the fact that they've been sitting in a restaurant having a nice meal and you had no fucking clue that all these guys actually worked for him, and who the hell are they at dinner with? Are they with their wives? Like, who are these people? But they all get up and they're all surrounding and protecting him. It's awesome. Vanessa rises up, very concerned, very scared. He kind of rushes Vanessa off. She's confused, and Fisk says to Wesley, "Put him in a car." So
Ah.
they put Anatoly in a car. That's all he wants done with him for now.
No.
And we cut to another scene. What?
I'm
What do you think?
sorry. I took put him in a car as well. Okay. Obviously, I'm wrong, but I was like, oh, that's code. That's a euphemism for fucking kill his ass.
Well, I mean, at the very least, it's meet me later and I'll do it.
Yeah.
Is what Karen shows Foggy some of the equipment that she got during the auction. She pleads her case and she says that she'll have some money coming in, so not to worry. Foggy smiles at her and at the equipment and turns and says, "Did I ever tell you that my mom wanted me to become a butcher? Do you know what I told her?" And then it cuts away. And I just thought that for as little Foggy as we get in this episode, which is fine, we'll get some more Foggy soon. It was a nice little moment that they got to have together.
Yeah, I agree. It's yeah. I think that my favorite Foggy moments of this whole all of it are gonna be Foggy Karen. I forgot her
Foggy
name.
Karen. Yeah,
Foggy Karen
Foggy
moments.
Karen is a good match. It's a good because we see the competition there and that he loves Matt. He adores Matt, but he feels very overshadowed by Matt. You can tell that he's not feeling like he's working with an equal, you know.
Well, and I part of that is I don't think that he feels like he can completely connect with Matt, and I think that that's because of Matt's alter ego.
That's not telling him the full truth, and he can kind of see that and probably always has. Yeah, we'll get into the history of that eventually, but that makes perfect sense.
Ooh, spoiler
I
alert.
ain't gonna say shit. Unless I just did, in which case I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
So we cut to Matt bandaging up Claire for a change in Matt's loft. He tells her about how he used to patch up his dad. How he took a lot of beatings. She jokes that he must take after his father. He apologizes for putting her in so much danger. And Claire says it was her choice, but she pulled him out of that dumpster because she's a good person, and Matt commends her for that. She asks if he's got a plan, if he sees an end game, if it was all worth it. And he says, "I'm trying to make the city a better place, but no matter what I do, I'm making things worse." She stops him. She says, Tell that to the boy you saved from the Russians or the other people you've helped." He asks her, "What about the people I've gotten hurt? What do I tell them?" She says, She tells him to feel her heart, places his hand on her chest, and says, "What do you feel?" He says, "That you're scared." "Just because I am. More than I've ever been before in my life. And I'm not alone, but you can do something about that for all of us." And she calls him Mike. And he says, "Matthew."
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did this episode not teach you anything?
What?
Fucking don't tell her your real goddamn name. Puts her in danger. We just got out of this.
You're under the you're just like, oh, she's gonna blab. She's just like Santino. She's gonna blab if given the right.
No, she's not gonna blab. I know she's not gonna blab, but also, like, you just got out of the situation, which honestly, like, I not Santino, Sergio, mm-hmm. the guy with the bat who was being
Sergei.
All mean to her,
Sergei. Yeah.
Sergei.
Yeah.
Sergei was like, blah, 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 with the bat, and he was with the bat. I'm sorry.
That does
it just
sound
sounded
like
a vampire.
That's a damn good Sergei impression.
And he was like, "Give me a name." And she was like, "I don't know a name." Like, I feel like, yes, bad people are going to bad people. Hopefully to a point where they realize that they're bad peopling to a point where, like, the people that they're bad peopling at don't know anymore.
I get what you're saying. I will counter it. Can I counter it?
Okay.
They didn't know his name was Mike either.
Okay.
They got shit diddly out of her. They beat her senseless.
That
they,
is a very good
her.
Point.
They scared the shit out of her, and he knows not only does he trust her at this point, but he owes it to her. He put her in danger. He was careless with the first person who he's willing to share this side of himself with. So he starts, I think he just kind of let his guard down and he just went with it. He's like, "This is the time. I got to stop telling her it's Mike. Why the fuck would I keep letting her call me Mike at this point? I owe it to her."
That is a really good point, because she did not give up the name Mike. And at the point that she probably would have given up the name Mike, she would have probably been bat to the side of the head.
Exactly. She only kept her life, Sergei. She only kept her life because she did not say anything. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the only reason they took her, was to get information. So she would have been indispensable. She would have been completely, no, sorry. She would have been dispensable. She would have been completely written off the second she gave
them. Well, fuck me. Oh no, I'm sorry. Hello.
We gotta wrap this up soon.
Yeah,
because
we are
making less sense every second.
Yeah. Had she said any name, even had mm-hmm. it been the wrong name, mm-hmm. she would have been dispensable. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good
100%.
Point. I still don't love the idea of her knowing this.
Well, that's
it
fair.
Just
that's understandable. It puts her at more risk. I agree.
She does just know his first name, and Matthew is a very, it's a common first name.
I feel like she doesn't even at this point need to or want to do any more digging. She's probably satisfied with that. She wasn't even expecting that. She was probably fine with the fake name that he was giving. But to him, it was a choice that he made just purely out of his good morals. He was like, "I can't just keep letting her call me Mike. You know, it's too weird." Because it sounded weird the second she said, you know, "That's something you could do for all of us, Mike." And then it just felt weird coming out of her mouth. I was like, she should know by now.
Yeah.
But yeah, she believes
no, I
in
do.
Him. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I feel that. It was weird, her calling him Mike.
Right?
Yeah. But she
so I
said she can do good.
Yeah, she can. I think that I won't spoil anything else. I'm not going to say anything else about Claire. But she believes in him like crazy, and at this moment she actually got me a little choked up, because it's a nice scene between two people that want to make they want to fix the world, and they both took on jobs, whether it be him as a lawyer or her as a nurse, but then also Matt as a superhero, they want to fix the world and they know how dangerous it can be, and that doesn't mean they'll stop. It's moments like this that make heroes' stories more powerful. So because they can be applied, the same thing can be applied to Karen and Ben and their story, and Matt and Foggy and helping the electrician that they talk about in this episode, Matt going out in a mask every night. They're people who are trying to do good when the world doesn't seem to naturally lean in that direction. And they're putting in the work to try and course correct it. And without that kind of stuff, superhero stories suck. They're empty. They don't have that heart. So it's those scenes like that, people will call this kind of episode a filler episode. This is where I think that those kind of moments differ, those kind of character interactions. Fisk takes Vanessa home. She doesn't seem interested anymore. She went out with him because there's something different about him, but she's not sure that that's a good thing anymore. He apologizes, says that if she doesn't feel anything for him, even a little bit, he wants to hear it, and she'll never see him again. But instead of saying that, she says she doesn't know how she feels and goes inside, leaving him to deal with a very stupid Anatoly. Wesley talks with Anatoly very briefly. Do you want? I'll go to you before I go to that scene because it is
Yeah,
the
okay.
big
Yeah,
climax.
it is the climax. All right. So at this point, when she says, I don't know, she doesn't land on an answer. And Fisk doesn't say it out loud, but you see it in his eyes. He goes, "So you're saying there's a chance."
Yeah, I was hoping
Y'all
you'd say
have
that.
truly broken me. I.
Are you saying, y'all? I didn't join the podcast till October. This is a Brandon and Clinton thing. Bringing up Dumb and Dumber every other episode, I'm sure, for 3 years. I didn't do shit.
And in his, oh well, I don't know that you didn't do shit. I
Here.
think you had
I
a
might have encouraged it. I
I
might have
punched it
nudged it
again.
along.
Okay.
That's okay. I didn't hear
Oh, well, I
it.
announced it.
I think you should just dress your microphone up like a punching bag and just run with it at this point.
mean, I need a like bubble wrap. I'm sure the sound quality would get so much better. It was
That'll
just
sound,
surrounded.
it'll make every punch that much more common and audible. I think you'll hear
I punched
like, oh, she
it
punched it. Yeah.
again. Okay.
Wesley talks with Anatoly. And I went into the scene knowing what was going to happen. So it was so sad to hear Anatoly kind of try to combine his rhetoric with that of his brother and kind of explain that his actions and say, I wanted to speak with Fisk in person, which is exactly what his brother would say. The car stops and Wesley says, that this is a really weird quote from Wesley, which I enjoyed. The car stops and Wesley turns to Anatoly and says, they say that the past is etched in stone, but it isn't. It's smoke trapped in a closed room, swirling, changing, buffeted by the passing of years and wishful thinking. But even though our perception of it changes, one thing is constant. The past can never be completely erased. It lingers like the scent of burning wood. He receives a call and he simply says, yes, the passenger side. And then he turns to Anatoly and says, he'd like a word with you. Fisk barrels in the car door, grabs Anatoly, and launches him out onto the ground. Anatoly's face in this moment would almost be comical if he wasn't about to have it removed from his fucking body. He tries to fight back, but Fisk is too damn strong, too damn powerful, and Anatoly slices at him with a switchblade, and in this strange armored fabric that lines Fisk's suit is revealed. Fisk slams him up against the SUV. He screams, "You embarrassed me in front of her!" And he breaks Anatoly's arm. He headbutts him into the ground, keeps propping him up inside the doorway. Anatoly cries out for Wesley to give him some kind of mercy, but Fisk clocks him one more time before using the car door to essentially remove Anatoly's head. Fisk finally gets the door closed. Anatoly loses his head about it. What are your thoughts?
What a way to say it. Oh, good Lord. All right. So Anatoly barely knows the name, but can somehow figure out where Fisk is in this location. That's a
Like at
plot
the
hole for
restaurant, you mean?
me. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm going to go to him right now.
I would
Period.
think that to me that would be explained by like he got a tip from another Russian and like they've probably been looking for him as much as they can, and maybe they've been following Wesley. That would be my guess, is they've got people out there following Wesley, and therefore Wesley being at the same restaurant or at the same gallery kind of screwed them,
Okay,
is my
all right.
guess.
That does make a little bit of sense. All right, okay. Okay, as soon as the car parked with the bridge in the background and the darkness, I was like, I recognize this scene. Like I said before, it was shared as a show of strength of what. My phone just said it's bedtime, so good night.
Good night,
No.
everybody.
No, it's a show of strength of what Wilson Fisk can be and what some people criticized Echo for.
Big time.
Fair point.
Very different Fisk. This is a great example of the total opposite
Yeah.
of what we see. Yeah.
And I think that was the context that I saw this gif from. And as soon as that car parked, I was like, this is a scene. I know it's I you know what? I'm even gonna say I thought I knew what was happening.
Yeah.
I thought that I was about to watch someone's head get bashed in by a car door. No, I watched someone's head get bifurcated,
Yeah. Good word
which I
use.
think we learned this term in a previous Avengers episode.
Bifurcated?
Bifurcated. It is when it is cut into two. I
There
didn't
you go.
realize that that was gonna fucking happen. I thought it was just
Anything that is
smashed.
divided in two when a road splits into two diverging directions, it's known as a fork in the road. It is bifurcated. Yeah, there you go. There you go, guys. Education.
Education is, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm a teacher. I think that's the theme of this episode. I'm gonna teach y'all something. All right. The absolute brutality of this was so, oh my God. I could not watch, but I also couldn't not watch. And
Yeah.
it was like headbutt, 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 and then slam the face into the car door. I don't think I realized that he was facing the car door whenever the car door was being slammed into his face,
Yeah.
which I don't know why, but I think I'd rather be facing the car than the door.
Yeah. I'd
Like, I
want to
don't.
not know when each one was coming, each slam,
Yeah.
whatever
Yeah.
consciousness I had left. Yeah.
Exactly. Wesley
Brutal.
just watching.
Yeah,
I
he
mean,
like gets out eventually, but he doesn't say anything. He just calmly gets out on the other side.
just fucking in that car. The blood on the car, the sounds were like the sound, like, yes, obviously, was not, I like eyes averted, which is the sounds often were too much. It was, I don't use this word a lot. And honestly, I don't think I even want to say it now, but I'm just gonna go for it. The squelching,
Oh yeah.
oh, I don't
Oh
like
yeah. A
that.
lot of squelch. Squelch heavy scene. Turn your
Good Lord.
ASMR settings off. Yeah.
Oh, I okay. I there was a note that I had at some point during this scene that I was out furiously. At this point, I had turned over the page, and I try very hard to keep my notes at one page.
Right.
And so I don't take notes on things that are unnecessary, except if they are necessary by my standards. And you know what? My standards are there. I do have standards. But once I turned the page, I was like, I'm taking notes on all of this. But there was something in this scene that I wanted to take a note on that I completely forgot almost immediately. And I was like, I cannot go back and watch it. I cannot go back and rewatch this scene and figure out what the hell I didn't put a note. So I put a note for like, there is something missing here that I wanted to say, but I couldn't go back because it was so gross.
Was it anything to do with his possible armor laced suit and how the
No, I
Switchblade
have,
didn't do anything to him?
I have. Does he have a Kevlar suit? That is a note
That
that I have.
is a note to the next line that happens.
Yeah.
Basically, Wesley passes him a handkerchief to wipe his face off. I wrote also the there's a quick glimpse after Fisk successfully removes Anatoly's head. He doesn't seem fazed by it at all. He closes the door successfully. Oh, thank goodness, he got the door closed. He looks into the reflection of his own face with a little bit of blood on it, and to me, he recognized the man looking back at him to be the man he is instead of the man he thinks he is, like he referenced earlier in the during the date with Vanessa. He says we get caught up in the men we think we are, or the people we think we are, and it's like, this is the guy he is, the guy who just beheaded a guy with a car door. He's unfazed, entirely unfazed by this look in the reflection, and Wesley passes him a handkerchief and says, he says to Wesley, "Tell Mr. Potter I'll need a new suit."
Yeah, watch out. Watch out, Harry. Watch your six
Vatica
and 12.
designer. Yeah,
Is
watch your
that
6 and 12, Harry. I think,
a saying?
yeah. What?
Watch your six and 12. I don't think it
Kinda.
is.
It's in front of you and behind you. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Should
Watch your
you not
6.
also
I don't
watch
know if,
your,
I don't know if
what,
it's
six and
saying as
nine?
much. Sure. With 3 and 9, I don't look at
I
my three
said
and
it.
nine
I said
as
it.
much as I look at my 6 and 12. I'll be honest. Yeah. Take
Six,
pride. Maybe
twelve,
you were the
six,
first
twelve,
person to say it.
six, twelve.
That looked a bit more like 8 o'clock to me. Did
Okay,
you
all
get
right,
all the
my
way around
next
to 6? Don't hurt yourself.
six.
Oh, I heard a big crack.
Well, that was my mic. That was
What? Wesley asks, "What about
Sorry.
this?" Fisk says, "Take what's left of him and send it to his brother. It'll start a
Oh.
war. I'm counting on it." And that's when we see him get back into his very clean vehicle. Wouldn't it be nice? And that's the end of the episode.
All
Episode
right.
4, In the Blood. Now you know what the fuck it's referring to.
Whoa. The blood of the car. The blood. Well,
Yep.
the car doesn't have blood, but the car has blood in it now because we've bifurcated somebody
Yep. Someone got
from,
bifurcated.
from their body. I keep doing this. Like, this is the sign now for decapitation.
That's the motion I do when I'm taking husk off of an ear of corn. That's like, it's similar. I get it. I get it. Do you
Okay.
have any final thoughts on this episode, Emmy?
All right. Well, the final line, it'll start a war. The confidence in this man when he says, I'm counting on it. All right. Okay. I'm not to smash, but like, all right. The confidence, I see it. Still a pass, still a pass. And I think maybe mostly the voice. And also a little bit that I do still see him as the guy whose skin doesn't quite fit in Men in
Men
Black
in
1.
Black. Sugar,
Yeah.
water.
Yeah.
Does that matter? Yeah, that's amazing. I love that character. Edgar. Edgar
Yeah.
wants his sugar. Yeah.
But okay, I'm sorry. The phone call, whenever Wesley answers the phone, is like, "Oh yeah, passenger side."
Yeah.
I
Imagine if
just
he fucked
need,
that up.
I okay, yeah. Just imagine for a second. He gets the side wrong. He's like, "Passenger side, other passenger side, other passenger side, other passenger side."
Yeah, American cars. Yeah. Yeah, that would be a very different night for him. I like that he kind of snuck up on Anatoly that way. He's just like waiting around, thinking he's gonna have a nice, calm, relaxing conversation with Fisk after embarrassing him in that restaurant. It's like, oh, dude, you could have just a phone call would have been much more appropriate, Wesley says,
But
which is like, yeah, just a bit.
like when I have a bomb to drop, not like that, not a poopy. When I have a bomb to drop on any of my principals, or like I need to, like when I need to say something to
Yeah.
them, I
You
want to
mean
say it in
under a
person.
bridge? Oh,
Yes, under a bridge. Yeah. In person. But no, I want to say it to them in person. Like, hey, I'm going to be out tomorrow because it's my cat's quinceanera. Like, that needs to be an in-person thing.
That's fair. That's fair. I get that. Yeah.
My cats are only on stay. We'll get there.
I don't have any final thoughts on this episode, except I'm so fucking excited to see what happens next, and I know that this next episode is going to be a killer. If it's the one I'm thinking of, we'll get a little bit of Vladimir's reaction to this. It could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Which that is what I'm banking on, anyways.
I may be right. I may be crazy. But I just might be Vladimir you're looking for.
The
I feel crazy. I feel like I have slightly filled. Like, not completely filled, but like Brandon's shoes. He used to do that shit. And now here I am
Yeah.
doing that
What,
shit.
feeling crazy?
No, changing song lyrics to make it fit whatever the
Oh.
hell we're talking about, which I think used to make me cringe. And here I am being
Oh no. You're the cringe
cringe.
queen of the season. Cringe queen.
Cringe. Cringe queen.
Ah. Do you know how to
The
take us
Muffin
out?
Man.
How to take us out of this
No.
episode?
I do know how to take us out of this episode. All right.
Muscle memory.
Oh no. I think I would have been fine had you not said that, and now it's like muscle
Oh
what?
shit.
All
My bad. My bad.
right. All right. All right. All right. Oh. No, it completely left me. Hi, listen. If you enjoyed this episode, props to you. This is a good one. This is extremely off the rails for us. We are doing two episodes a week right now, trying to review X-Men and Daredevil. One of them being superior, and I will not say which one because that is
Daredevil.
showist.
Yes, it's showist. Don't want to be that. Don't miss
But
climate.
we're doing our best right now. And if you would like to follow us on social media, if you enjoyed this podcast, listen, this is what we do it for. Yeah, we review Marvel and we also talk about random ass shit, and that's what we're here for. And if that's what you're here for, we're here for you. And you're here for us. And so give us a 5-star rating on your platform of choice, wherever you listen to us. That would be great. It helps to get eyes and ears on the podcast. We are the Avengers podcast on podcast platforms. We are at the Avengers. No, I'm sorry. Wait, nope. I'm not gonna fuck that up again. We are at Avengers Podcast on all social media, wherever you want to find us.
Avengers.
Avengers. And if you want to find us on Patreon, you can give us $1 a month to keep the lights on, or internet connection stable, which doesn't seem to be going to that, which is upsetting. But if you want to give us $1 a month, it is patreon.com/abingerspodcast. It helps to fund us. First of all, you get access to our Discord, which is a beautiful, loving community of people who love to talk nerdy shit, old and new, all of it. Like,
Hell yeah.
it's just a beautiful community,
It is.
honestly. Like,
It
I'm so
is.
proud of it.
You guys are, y'all are great. Really great. Thank you.
Completely agreed. And we've got some backlogs of silly, goofy movies that we've reviewed in the past. And you get pre-shows before every single episode. And did I do it all?
So I think that's all of it, yeah. Do you have any
Do I need
final
to do a
thoughts?
triple axel now?
No. It's okay. Please don't ever attempt that after any recording we do.
I feel like I missed one. I missed one. Oh, a free way to support the show. No, I already did that.
I
Didn't
think it's
I?
honestly, I think it's just final thoughts, but you said there was no credit names to read,
There's
so
not any credit
that's all
names.
we
No,
got.
I'm sorry.
Final thoughts, and then we're on out of here.
Do you have any final thoughts, Keith?
My only final thought is how much I adore recording with you, Emmy, and for you to remember, for your own safety, to keep your body inside the car at all times with your head. If you can remember that, you'll be safe in this world. Do you have any final thoughts, Emmy?
I do. Yep. Yeah. You sound like my mother, and I appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
Just gotta keep those two parts together.
Makes for a better Emmy all around.
Yep.
Everybody!
Good night. Goodbye.
Get it! Get it!